What is up, everybody? This is Dr. Joe Camerata with Across the Continuum. Now, before I get started, I just wanted to mention that on the 1st of November, coming up in a couple of weeks, we're going to have a free webinar all about strength training, of course. Mainly, we're going to be talking about the four training principles that go into writing a periodized program, as well as our three-step evaluation process that we recommend using when evaluating patients who are going to be receiving intelligent periodization or intelligent programming from you. And so don't miss it. I will go ahead and link the registration down in the description. So get in on that so that we can see you there and learn all about strength training in the clinic. Now, what I wanted to talk about today was a mishap that I had last week that I think feeds into some of the messaging that I've been getting off here lately and, well, lately being over the past few years. But what happened was I was at my CrossFit box at my CrossFit gym, and we were doing a workout that involved rope climbing. Now, I've never really done rope climbs before. I remember doing a couple a few years ago when I dabbled in CrossFit back in Mississippi and being very terrible at them. When it comes to being a gigantic person, I'm 6'4" almost and 230 pounds. CrossFit isn't really your sort of sport. You know, it's fun for me to do because there's a lot of novelty and it gets my heart racing and there's, you know, a community aspect. But the whole moving my body around things like ropes or bars or the ground doesn't really work out too well because I'm so big. CrossFit is, you know, a small man sport. No offense. So we're doing rope climbs, and they're about 15 feet high, and I had never done a rope climb before, in a workout at least, and what ended up happening was I jumped off a rope a little bit too high. You know, not crazy, I didn't jump off from 15 feet to the top, but I just was higher than I had expected myself to be, and when there's a lapse in expectation versus reality, there's room for error to kind of come into play, and I guess I stiffened up my legs a little bit too early when I was dropping down, and I landed really hard on my right heel. At the time, didn't really hurt a whole lot. I just noticed, I was like, oh man, that didn't feel super great. But there were still, I think, three more rounds of 200 meter run, 20 calorie row, and then two more rope climbs. So I just kept going. Heel felt fine during the running, during the rowing, during the rope climbs. I mean, I hopped off the rope, you know, a bunch more times. And the reason that you hop off the rope is so that you don't really, like, going down is the hard part. Going up is pretty easy, but the going down the rope is the hard part because you have to eccentrically lower yourself. And so I jumped off the rope, you know, I think it was six more times. And it wasn't until I stopped after the workout was over and I realized that, wow, my heel does not feel super great. With the musculoskeletal background, being a physical therapist and all, I did a few, you know, self-tests, which you never really want to do because then you start freaking yourself out. But my heel hurt to put weight down on it, and so I did a calcaneal squeeze test or a squeeze test, which is testing for stress fractures through the calcaneus being your heel bone. And it was positive. It really, really hurt a lot on my right side, and I was palpating and feeling around the medial and lateral aspect of my calcaneus, and it really did not feel good. And so I was like, all right, great, broke my freaking calcaneus. I, you know, tiptoed around for a little bit. Ironically, I had a podiatrist appointment the following day, so I was like, sweet, I'm just going to let him know that I think I broke my foot and maybe I'll take some plane films. And so walking around, it feels pretty good. I can weight bear, which kind of rules out, you know, like Ottawa ankle rules or Ottawa foot rules where you can't weight bear, which is indicative of, you know, it's probably a good idea to get some plane films of the ankle or the foot. I could weight bear. It just didn't feel good to do like heel walking or direct calcaneal pressure. So the next morning I wake up, well, my heel wakes me up. My right foot was really not feeling great. And I ended up not really being able to weight bear through my right calcaneus. I could kind of tiptoe around the house, but still no bruising, no swelling, really point tender to the medial aspect of my calcaneus as well as the lateral aspect of my calcaneus. But none of those signs that would make me fear that I was really angry. And so, you know, I go through that day, it gets better as I kind of move around and walk around on and what have you. I end up going to the podiatrist and he does take plane films, and he's like, well, there's no stress fracture. Now, I know what you're thinking, Joe, stress fractures don't show up for about 2 weeks after they get there. Yes, great point. That's fine, I understand. But there's no stress fracture there in the plane films. And he was like, just don't be dumb. Maybe lay off the plyometric stuff, the hopping around and trying not to hit it on anything again. I'm like, great, fair enough. This is kind of what I had in mind anyway, right? And so the following day, it feels like 90% better. I remember texting my coach, Cody, and be like, hey, my foot feels a lot better today. I think I'm gonna hit the gym again. Great. So I go back to CrossFit and we're doing 4 rounds of 15 toes to bar and 3 wall walks. And for those of you that don't know what a toes bar is, you're on the bar and you're hanging from a pull-up bar and you're swinging your feet up so that your toes touch the bar. It's very self-explanatory. And a wall walk is where you are lying prone with the plantar aspect of your feet against the wall and then walking your feet up the wall and walking your hands closer to the wall until your belly ends up touching the wall and back down. And again, 2 very non-foot involved activities, or non-heel involved activities, really. And so I was like, this is fine. So I ended up doing the training and going through 4 rounds of this misery. And then on the very last one, the very last wall walk, I ended up kind of flopping down to the ground and I hit my heel again. And the moment it happened, I was like, oh man, that did not feel good again. I was tiptoeing around the gym and I ended up texting my wife and I was like, oh my God, I hit my heel. And she was like, you idiot. But again, here I am. I think it's the following week and I'm like 99% better. Whether there's a stress fracture there or not, I'm not sure. Still a little bit of tenderness to palpation to my, my medial calcaneal area, inferior medial calcaneal, kind of where like the plantar fascia inserts. But really no worse for wear. I'm going to go back to the CrossFit gym today. The workout is 200, I think it's 4 rounds, 200 meter run. Or I'm sorry, no, it's 10 rounds. So I remember looking at that and being like, oh my God, it's 10 rounds of 200 meter run and 3 bar muscle ups. So again, when I look at this workout in the current context of my foot, my right calcaneus, maybe not being great at accepting high force right now. I look at a 200 meter run and I'm like, all right, maybe I could bike or row or do a ski erg, things that are probably not going to lend themselves to really high impact on my foot. Because if we're thinking about 10 rounds of 200 meter run, that's over a mile of running a week after I thought I broke my heel, my calcaneus. And so I'll probably modify that to, 10 calories, 12 calories on any of those implements. And then the bar muscle ups, I think I can probably do those. It's just the jumping down from the bar that gives me a little bit of pause. Yes, I could continue to jump down from the bar and just kind of land more on my left side or onto my left side and the toes of my right side. But I might just modify that to something a little bit more controlled, something that I can really slow down a little bit. But the reason that this kind of pertains to all the things that I've been talking about here lately is that, we put out information on there's never an excuse to not train. I mean, I reference this paper, the benefits outweigh the risks all the time, and I'll link it below, but there's always more stuff. There's always stuff that we can do, right? Even if my right foot is not feeling great, I still have 3 other limbs that I can train with to a very good effect. And if the issue, at least in my case, is the velocity or the force or the impact that's going through one of those limbs, I can just pick any implement that doesn't have high force production through that area that's giving me trouble. I mean, this is like modification 101. And the reason that I think CrossFit is a good example of what it is that a cross continuum is always talking about as far as modification goes is when we look at something like the staircase method that CJ and I developed, which is, you have your goal context at the very top of the stairs, you want to take as few steps down that staircase as you really need to find that entry point of training. And each step is going to be a larger and larger or more variation away from that goal context. And so in this context, the goal would be to be able to jump around, hop around, and stomp around on my right foot, but I'm unable to do that. And so then we have to just say, okay, if it's a force production issue through the heel, then there's things that I'm just not going to be interested in doing. Those things include running. Those things include double unders, which are, you know, high intensity jump rope. Those things include jumping down from a box or from a bar or, you know, those sorts of things. And so I think that I would probably feel comfortable doing any sort of heavier loading, right? Like squatting, benching. Oh, well, duh, of course, benching, squatting, deadlifting. I probably would stay away from more dynamic things like snatching, clean and jerk, just because there's a lot of foot movement that goes on in there. Although with the type of shoes that I wear, with the rigid heel cup in my Olympic lifting shoes, I probably would be okay with that. But again, it's like there's always something that I can do, even if both of my legs are broken. You know, I can probably go and sit on the bike when put my feet up on the pegs and just use the arm dealio. I remember when the first time I went to this CrossFit gym, one of the coaches also had a broken foot, and his foot was so broken it was in a boot, and he had brought in a skateboard so that he could row on the rowing machine, and he just put his foot on the skateboard and the other one in the strap on the rowing machine and was rowing with his unaffected foot in the strap on the rower, and then the affected foot in a boot on a skateboard rolling back and forth while on the rower. And so what a great example, and I'm sure, you know, if you can picture that, is quite comical to think about. But it really is like a testament to what it is that we're talking about here, which is if you as a physical therapist have a patient who is fitness forward, who is about this lifestyle, then they're going to find ways to continue to train, whether you're going to help them do that or not. And so if you're able to help them continue to train, then that's great, because you can make sure that you are both on the same page and you are pushing them forward towards avoiding deconditioning, towards avoiding these kind of kinesiophobia type outcomes where we have somebody who's afraid to do activity until they feel all the way better. And then at some point we're going to have to realize that they might not feel all the way better. And then what do we do with that sort of information? And so if you have people that are about it, if you are working with a fitness forward population, which that fitness forward population is growing, we have projections that by 2028, there's going to be 171% increase in gyms and strength training areas in the country. And so if you're not on board with the fitness forward patient, that's totally fine, I suppose. But that wave is coming of strength forward patients, and you need to be able to figure out where those modifications lie. Because if we're just recommending that people do nothing, or that, oh, I think you got a stress fracture on your foot, maybe you should just, you know, do nothing for the next 2 weeks so that we can make sure that everything's hunky-dory, there are consequences and negative aspects that come along with that recommendation. And the best thing that I can recommend for that coming wave, because there is so much to know when it comes to strength training, when it comes to applying strength principles to clinical contexts, is that you get started right now. Now, we do, again, we have the webinar coming up. We have, I think it's 6 or 7 free guides on our website across continuum.com. We have the podcast, we have the Instagram, I'm on Pinterest, all of these ways that you can start to take in information to get ready, because the best time to start is right now, because there is complexity in the strength world, and there's complexity in the musculoskeletal world, and there's complexity in mixing those two together in a high level way. And the only way that we can learn complex things is to start right now and get repeated exposures to ideas, fail with those expectations as far as what's going to work and what doesn't work, and trying to find our way through that maze. But waiting until you're standing in front of or sitting in front of a patient who's asking questions about making modifications in the gym, whether that be powerlifting, Olympic lifting, CrossFit, whether that's running or swimming or what have you, waiting until you have somebody in front of you is just going to leave you open to not knowing what to give them, giving them a recommendation that probably isn't in their best interest, and then kind of opening them up to being screwed over by all the things that we're talking about on here: kinesiophobia, nocebo, deconditioning, comorbidities due to sedentary lifestyle. And so my best recommendation is to get on the strength train right now, because that wave is coming and it's going to be here whether you're ready for it or not. Now, if you have any questions, go ahead and reach out on Instagram or on email, through my website, through Facebook. I'm trying to be everywhere. I'm going to keep everybody updated on my foot. As of right now, I'm standing on it. I'm kind of hopping around on it. It feels pretty great. I don't think it'll be any issue, but that, you know, if I bang it again, it's probably not going to feel great. Anyway, I hope everybody has a great, strong day, and let me know if you have any questions.